I'm so blessed to be here tonight. I've been blessed to be here this past week, to be with Rupert and Betty, some very, very, very dear friends, and to visit with your pastor. It's just been a real, real blessing. Remember us, we travel home tomorrow, and like Joshua said about a group of folks, they're going to be hewers of wood and drawers of water. That airplane pilot tomorrow is a hewer of wood and drawer of water. He's going to be a servant of God, trusting that he'll take us home safely. I think I've just about convinced your pastor to come to Oregon and preach for us in June. It has come with concessions, of course. The last concession that I've had to make is this: that we will not serve him any liver, heart, brains, or kidneys of any animal. So I think I'll talk to the ladies and they'll be able to figure that out quite well. They're going to be so happy. We're looking forward to your pastor coming and being with us in June and speaking 5 or 6 times. Our people are going to love him just like you do. A gospel preacher loves God, loves Christ, loves the gospel, and loves preaching it. Now, Brother Gary's daughter tonight asked me if I was her dad's twin. And I said, yes, that's a great compliment. We both have a nice vest on tonight. Would you join me in the book of Luke for 2 readings, the book of John for 2 readings, and then we're going to go back to the book of Leviticus. My grandmother rode in a covered wagon and saw on TV a man on the moon. She saw so much change in her life. And in her bedroom were some boxes, candy boxes, the old style candy boxes. And she had all those candy boxes filled with pictures. And in one of those boxes was a box of those stereographs, where they had 2 pictures on a cardboard card and a stereograph reader. And she had a lot of stereographs of the 1906 San Francisco earthquake and the results of that. And I think in later years I found out that whenever we became a nuisance, she'd open that box up and give us those and let us look at them. I thought she was just being nice to us, but I think it was because we were being a nuisance. But we got to see those in stereo. Now, pictures are one thing, but reality is so much different. I could look at those pictures as a kid, and I doubt if I could find anybody that has ever gone through that. I think they're probably, most of them are all gone now. But if you really want to know what it was like, you had to be there. Now, in the book of Luke and in the book of John, there are some verses of Scripture that share a whole lot with me about the Old Testament, that it is pictures, it is types, and it is shadows. And we make a serious mistake when we build our faith on those shadows. We need to have our faith built on the person that those shadows represent. So if you'd look with me in the book of Luke chapter 24 and verse 27, the Lord Jesus is sharing some words with those 2 on the road to Emmaus. And it says in verse 27, and beginning at Moses, Luke chapter 24 and verse 27, and beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Now Moses is included in that. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. And in chapter 24, verse 44 of that book, it says, and he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. Then opened he their understanding, and that they might understand the scriptures. It was truly the revelation of Jesus Christ to his people that allows us to see what the scriptures are about. I was visiting with your pastor, and when the Lord showed him grace, the Bible became a new book. And I just related to that. When the Lord showed me his son, the Bible became a different book. It wasn't a book of do's and don'ts. It was a book of declaration of Jesus Christ. Now, going over to the book of John chapter 1, verse 45, these words that were brought back, Philip find his brother, Philip findeth Nathanael. John chapter 1, verse 45, and Philip findeth Nathanael, and said unto him, we have found him of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. We have found him who all that Old Testament, and at that time that's all they had, but it was such a revelation to them to find out that the Old Testament was about this one person, and he identified him. He was led by the Holy Spirit to identify the person that the Old Testament was about, and that is Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And then in John 5, 46 and 47, would you turn there with me? John chapter 5, verse 46, and these words are left for us and for our consideration. For had ye believed Moses, ye would have believed me, for he wrote of me. But if ye believe not his writings, how shall ye believe my words? They claimed to believe all the law, but the test was, Jesus brought it to their attention. If you don't believe me, you don't believe what was written in that, because Moses wrote of me. Now, with that in mind, would you travel back with me to the book of Leviticus, and there in chapter 8. There are three or four verses of Scripture I'd like to read and make a few comments on. As we see these pictures, there were a few in Israel that did not depend on those animal sacrifices. I am convinced that many of them did. Just like people depend on ordinances today, or worshiping of days, or worshiping of things, or doing things for righteousness' sake, there were many in Israel that saw these things as the absolute command of God in order for them to have righteousness. But there were a few, the elect according to the purpose of God, that saw that these were the pictures, just like God's people see today. They were the pictures of the person that truly was their Savior. We look at those elements of the Lord's Supper and baptism the same way that believers looked at these sacrifices. They are a picture, a reminder, but they are not the reality. The reality sits at the right hand of the Father making intercession for us. He is the Son that has made intercession for his people. He died in their place. Now in Leviticus chapter 8, verses 22, 23, and 24, a very interesting observance took place at the ordination of Aaron and his sons. They have been dressed in some of the best clothes that could be bought, but they were handmade, some without seam, decorated, gold, purple, scarlet, all of them significant in the redemptive work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And as they're dressed by Moses, it comes a time when there is one of the rams is taken and some of the blood is caught. And some of that blood that was caught, we read about here in these three verses in Leviticus chapter 8, verse 22. The scriptures share this. And he brought the other ram, the ram of consecration, and Aaron and his sons laid their hands upon the head of the ram, and he slew it. And Moses took of the blood of it and put it upon the tip of Aaron's right ear and upon the thumb of his right hand and upon the great toe of his right foot. And he brought Aaron's sons, and Moses put the blood upon the tip of their right ear and upon the thumbs of their right hands and upon the great toes of their right feet, and Moses sprinkled the blood upon the altar round about. Now I'm convinced, because we have those verses in the New Testament, and they share with us in the book of Hebrews several times, it shares these things were a type of, these things were a picture of, but they're not the true. If they had been able to bring righteousness to the people, there would have been no need of the Redeemer. That's brought out several times in the book of Hebrews. But they could not produce righteousness. They might have produced self-righteousness, but they could not produce Christ's righteousness. So they are only a picture. They're to lead us. They're to show us that Christ is our righteousness. And in this picture, I had to ask this question about it in the solemn ceremony as Moses took some of the blood and put it upon the right ear, the right thumb, and the right big toe. This was a very dramatic presentation to the children of Israel, no doubt. But I have to ask this question. What does this have to do with Christ? How can I see something here that is of Christ? I want to say this before we go any further, that the only thing that Aaron provided in this was his ear, his thumb, and his toe. He did not participate in this. He did not go get the blood himself. He did not put it on himself. Someone else did that for him. All he did as our first father in the outside of the Garden of Eden, when he was covered with the skins of animals, all he did is stood silent. And I'm convinced that that's what Aaron did when Moses brought that blood and dipped his finger in that blood and put it on his ear and put it on his thumb and put it on his great toe, that all he did was stand there and wait for this to happen to him. He did not participate. He was a recipient. We find that picture so often throughout the Old Testament, that they were not participants, but they were recipients. Now, as we look at this, we find, I'm going to share some of the things, and no one, I'm never going to say this is just what it is, because there's so much more to it. But I see this here, and I just want to share that the blood on the right ear was to teach him, as a mediator between God and his people, it was his duty to listen to every word of the Lord. Now, he is already failing before he gets started because he's a man. He can do no more hearing of the word of God than we can, even though he's got this mitre on his head and all of these fine clothes on him and he has some blood on his ear. He cannot do any more hearing than we can. And if we look into the other passages in the Old Testament, it tells us that we must listen to all the word of God. My goodness. Have you ever done that? I can't even read it right. But here it is, blood, and it's a symbol to Aaron that he must listen to every word of God. The blood on his right thumb to remind him that he was to execute all God's will. And as a man, he was unable to execute all God's will. Boy, we find ourselves at times, and I'm sure that Aaron did at times, find himself, what is God's will? I know not how to pray as I ought. I'm thankful for the intercessor that is able to take care of that, but I don't know how to pray as I ought. I wish, as Brother Gary mentioned tonight, I wish you'd pray for my brother, my youngest brother. I love him. He had hip surgery. He's gone through it quite well. I've had a couple of opportunities to talk to him about the gospel. He has been convinced 3 or 4 or 5 times to make a decision for Jesus. And he has told me one time I was visiting with him, Norm, there is nothing to religion. I said, you're right on that count. There is nothing to religion. But he's given me an opportunity to talk to him. And the next time, he said, Norm, is there anywhere around here where I live preaches what you just talked about? I says, no. There's not. It's a gracious thing when God raises up a place when people can hear something. It's all of grace. All of grace. And then he touched his big toe with a little blood. The blood to the right toe, right big toe, was to remind him to walk in all the word and way of God. And as a man, he was unable to fulfill this requirement. He was sunk before he got started. He had no capacity to do any of this. The best he could do was going to fall short. He was unable to keep all of God's word, do all of God's will, and to follow God in every capacity. He's unable. My goodness, he's a man. He falls into the category of fallen in Adam. He is a sinner by nature. He is in that great host of people that are the children of Adam that have inherited from him the nature of sin, and we have no capability. We are unable, and we cannot come to God on our own, just like he couldn't. He has the blood on his ear, the blood on his thumb, and the blood on his large toe, and it is a symbol and a type and a shadow of someone who can do all that. Our great high priest, the Lord Jesus Christ. The demand from God is holiness, and there is only one that meets that demand. The demand of God is to do all his word. The demand of God is to do all his will. And the demand of God is to go all his way. And we find that we're incapable of doing that. We fall so far short that we can't even dot the I in the word righteousness. We're unable. We just can't even get to that point. Aaron needed help before he got started. And I believe Aaron knew it. There were a few in Israel that understood they needed help before they could get started. Not all Israel is of Israel, but there were a few in Israel that understood. The 11th chapter of the book of Hebrews shares some of those guys. We say, my goodness, I wish there were more in our day and time. I wish I could go to Portland and go to church. I wish I could go to Medford and go to church. This is in Oregon. I wish I could go all over the state of Oregon and go to church. Well, you can go, but you're not going to hear anything. Very limited. Like here, very limited. But where you find it, I believe Aaron had found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Aaron needed help before he got started. Aaron, as high priest, was lost before he started. But there is one. There is one that has heard every word of God and did it, that did all the work of God perfectly and walked in all the ways of God perfectly, and he is called Jesus Christ the righteous. Turn with me, if you would, to 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2. We have this name given, and the church of the living God, saints of God, the sheep of his pasture, rejoice in this name of the Lord Jesus Christ, this declaration about his very nature. He is without sin. That's the problem with Aaron as high priest. He was a sinner. But this one is without sin. This one was impeccable. He came to this sin-cursed earth without sin, had no sin, incapable of sinning. I've had people say, oh, he could have sinned. No, he could not and be the Savior. He could not have that nature. It is so necessary that the virgin birth take place. It is absolutely essential. Without that, we do not have a Savior. One of the chapters we're going to be looking at the Dalles is about childbirth. And those babies, male and female, that were born, in their birth, in their conception, they've been passed on that seed of Adam, their sinners, in conception. They pass it on to their children. They pass it on to their children. They pass it on to their children. But this one came by the Virgin Mary and by the Heavenly Father, and he was perfect. One of those chapters in the book of Leviticus says, I know this is be the truth. Has anyone here had a runny nose? Your body betrays us that we're sinners. We can say with our mind, in our mind, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. We can say in our mind, oh, I'm doing well. You got a pimple? You got a scab? You got a bruise? You got a runny nose? You got a cancer? You got a leprosy? Your body's betraying you right in front of you. All those things are pointed out in the one of those chapters. It's either 11, 12, 13, or 14. Leprosy is brought out. Oh, and our houses have leprosy. You ever had dry rot? Our houses are betraying the fact that we're sinners. All these things point to the fact that we fell in Adam. We need help. We need Christ. We need the perfect ransom. We need the perfect Savior. So here in 1 John chapter 2 and verse 1, it shares with us something so valuable to the church. It is so necessary. We're so dependent upon it. We relish. We worship Him because of it. That He's Jesus Christ the righteous. We bow before Him. We'll sing to Him. We'll adore Him. We'll call Him Lord because that's who He is. 1 John chapter 2, verse 1, my little children, these things write I unto you that you sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. Now He is so rich in His righteousness. He is so rich in His righteousness. He is so rich that He can take His rich righteousness and credit it to our account. Now, I'm far from understanding it, but I'm the one that's going to stand in line to get it. We need that credit of His righteousness. Our righteousness is as filthy rags. We can have the blood on our ear, the blood on our thumb, and the blood on our toe and walk away and say, that's enough. And we're still undone sinners, just as Aaron was, the high priest. But this one, he's heard the word of God perfectly. He has done the word of God perfectly. He has gone the way of God perfectly. And that put Him on the cross. And there died a ransom for many. In Psalm 145, would you turn there with me? Psalm 145. Psalm 145. Knowing just a little bit about human nature, I'm convinced that many of those people that saw that happen to Aaron that day, Moses come with some of that ram's blood, put it on his ear and on his thumb and on his foot, says, oh boy, it was good for us to be here to see that. That's quite a man. He's been ordained. And Aaron knew more about it immediately. I'm a sinner by nature. I'm a sinner by practice. I'm a sinner by choice. Some saw the picture. We have a restaurant out in Oregon. Do you have Denny's here? Oh, they have some of the finest menus in the world. Boy, they have the prettiest menus. But I've never sat down once to eat a menu. I want what that menu represents. It's a fool that would take the menu. It's a fool that would take the picture. And the Bible says, the fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. God looked down from heaven to see if there were any that sought after Him. If any, and He found none. That's pretty good commentary on the fall. God's words. All right, here in the Psalm 145 and verse 17, we have these wonderful words about the Lord. Psalm 145 and verse 17 says, "The Lord is righteous in all his ways and holy in all his works." Hallelujah! Someone is able to do what Aaron pictured. Someone is able to do it. His name is Jesus of Nazareth. He's the one that was identified. We have found him who Moses and the scriptures have declared Jesus of Christ of Nazareth. You know, their hearts were made warm. So the Lord is righteous in all his ways. The Lord has such good credit with the Father that he can impute that credit to sinners. And he does. Turn with me one more time to the book of Romans. Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4. Now, most of the New Testament is a quote of the Old Testament. They picked out a passage of Scripture or were given a passage of Scripture and brought a message on it, just like we do. Much of the book of Romans is a quote from the Old Testament. Much of the book of Hebrews is a quote from the Old Testament. And throughout the Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the Lord Jesus pulled in passages from the Old Testament and brought a message on it. Much of the New Testament is just the Old Testament, and they had a message about it. Well, here in the book of Romans chapter 4, the Holy Spirit gave the Apostle Paul some words to share with the brothers and sisters at Rome about the Lord Jesus Christ. In Romans chapter 4, verse 1, "What shall we say then that Abraham, our father, as pertaining to the flesh, hath found? For if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God. For what saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness." It wasn't his belief, because that's from the Lord. I read I think it was Dr. Hawker mentioned in one of his writings, Robert Hawker, said, you know, talking about faith, if you're going down a river and you're about to drown and somebody comes up with a rope and throws it to you and gets it around you and pulls you to shore and you're just tuckered out, do you worship the rope or do you worship the person who pulled you in? And he said that rope is like faith. Don't worship faith. Worship the Lord who provided the faith. That's what God's people do. He says in verse 4, "Now to him that worketh is a reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Even as David also describeth the blessedness of the man." Now we're going to another passage of Scripture, another proof text, the Psalms. Go on to the Psalms. And it says, "Even David also describeth the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works." And I can just see some of those folks down there at Rome saying, "Hallelujah. Hallelujah. My righteousness is as filthy rags. And this one, born of a virgin, perfect in every capacity, he didn't have a pimple." You know what? If I spit on somebody, I can make them so sick they could die, but he spit and put it on people's eyes and healed them. When I was teaching high school wood shop, I had to go through blood-borne pathogen instructions. Wear gloves. Be sure you're covered and all this stuff because there's going to be somebody injured in my shop. His blood cleanseth us from all unrighteousness. He's got everything about him is perfect. His tears are perfect. His saliva is perfect. His blood is perfect. Everything about him is perfect. He's the perfect Son of God. So he provides, he gives all that we need. God demands serious. Follow him in every way and we fail. He demands serious. God provides in Christ Jesus all that he required of us. And then it goes on to say here, "Blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. I don't know how it's capable, but my Bible tells me that you and I stand before the Lord as if we had never sinned. You and I stand before the Lord without spot or wrinkle. You and I stand before the Lord without sin. I don't understand it all. But the Scriptures are so plain of the capacity of the Lord's salvation that nobody that stands before Him will be accounted as a sinner. They will be found in Christ, in His righteousness, in His perfection, in His presentation. And so that blood was only a picture. But the Savior has all of those requirements fulfilled. Now, it was interesting to me, if we went another place, but I won't. But in the book of Leviticus chapter 14, when the leper was cleansed, do you know what they did with him? Put blood on his ear, blood on his thumb, and blood on his big toe. We have the blood of Christ. We're able to do His requirements in Christ.